We wouldn't be able to keep this archive going without your support. Donate online today at WIXR.org.
Memphis, Tennessee.
This is the Daily Memphian Midday News Brief. Despite slashing $4 million in expenses and cutting dozens of staff over 2 years, Christian Brothers University in Memphis will remain on probation in 2025. Jane Roberts reports that the Southern Association of Colleges and Schools Commission on Colleges says CBU just hasn't made enough progress to be financially solvent.
The deep cuts that CBU has made in the last 2 years are not yet enough for it to be showing a budget surplus. Interim President Brother Chris Englert expects the campus to return to full compliance next year. He said the university's academic status remains strong, including that it has received national recognition for its academic program. For the Daily Memphian, I'm Jane Roberts.
The transformation and expansion of the Arlington High School campus will continue with the addition of softball and football field houses. The $8.5 million project includes weight and training rooms, locker rooms, offices for coaches and referees, and a large turf area for speed and agility drills. Arlington High School principal Chris Davis says the upgrades look like something off a college campus. It's the latest in a series of improvements to the Northeast Shelby County suburb school. Construction recently began on a $1.7 million softball field house. A fine arts facility opened in 2024, a wrestling facility in 2022, and a multi-indoor practice space opened in 2021. For Michael Waddell, I'm Natalie Van Gundy. More on these stories and others are available at dailymemphian.com.
All right, y'all, it's a happy new year, y'all. It's a happy new year, and I'm right here in the studios of WYXR. I am your girl, Dr. Talisa Franklin. Happy 2025, y'all. We made it. It is 2025, and I'm super excited to be here in the studios because you know what? It's always great when somebody can just have a little talk with Talisa Radio Show each and every Wednesday right here on WYXR 91.7. Noon on Wednesdays, and I tell you, on today, I'm super excited to kick off this show and kick off this year. Yeah, this year, y'all. It's 2025, and I'm kicking off the year with my dear brother, my dear friend, is a change agent in our community because I am committed to seeing Memphis move in the way that I know that it can move. And baby, Memphis has got to go up higher and higher and higher. You know, I'm very inspired that today I just left an amazing prayer breakfast. Myron Lowry and Mikhail Lowry had this amazing prayer breakfast this morning where I think it was probably about 500 community leaders and people in the community was at this breakfast, and I feel so much hope. We prayed for Memphis. We spoke about Memphis and all the great things. I was always excited to see our illustrious mayor, Mayor Paul Young, and so many people that were there. But more so, I was just excited to see on the beginning of the year, we're starting this year off in praying for our city and praying for our county. Listen, I am Talisa Franklin. I am committed to seeing the best of Memphis. And make sure that you're following me on all social media outlets. Well, you know me, I always tell people, listen, Wednesday is to have a little talk with Talisa, right? And so I wanted to bring my dear brother, my dear friend that is a true change maker, change agent in our community. So let's have a talk, right? I want to talk about his organization, but I really want to talk, how do we move Memphis forward? How do we make the necessary changes and shifting the narrative the way people have to say with Memphis, and especially when it comes down to our youth? So let me go ahead and dive in this conversation, y'all. You know what you're listening to is Dr. Talisa Franklin right here on WYXR. We raised by the sound, 91.7. Will you welcome me, the one, the only, the good man himself, Dr. Jeffrey Fortrell. What's up, Doc?
Hey, good morning, T. How are you doing? Man, well, happy New Year's to
happy you. Happy New Year to you as well.
Yes, ma'am.
thank you for being here. Thank you for always sharing your voice, right? Your voice is power in our community. So before we start really just diving all the way into this conversation that I want you to know and people to hear, kind of tell our listeners right here at WYXR, Raised by the Sound 91.7 on the Let's Have a Talk with Talisa show, who is Dr. Jeffrey Pretrail?
Well, I guess in the short form, Talisa, it's just I'm a servant. You know, I'm a servant, and I have a purpose. And I'm driven by that ambition that drives that purpose to change the lives and the outcomes of our sons and daughters, their futures. Many of our brothers that are incarcerated, it's another one of our missions, is to lay foundations that change can actually happen in their lives, sustainable change. I don't like mediocrity. I think temporary change is mediocrity. So, at Young Men University, we strive to bring about sustainable, quantifiable changes in the lives of our youth. With our youth, we dream together. We are a homeschool-based high school, and within the high school, all of our students have to have Tennessee corporations. They have to be business people.
Okay.
They have to write their vision and make it plain, which we translate that into being a business plan, and we work from there. And if we don't raise our sons to create for self, then they're always subjected to the mercy of everything else.
Yeah.
So the vision is so tantamount to securing a brighter future for them.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's my focus.
You know, you said something that I tell even it, as many people did vision boards last week. Many people going to do vision boards this week because they want to dream. They want to vision what life looks like. You are allowing our young people to dream now.
Practically, yes.
When you think about your young people, they're not the young people that are at the Ivy League schools. They're not the young people that comes from these different homes. And regardless of really, I can say this, whatever home you come from, some of our children just get in bad company, right? Mm-hmm. And so when you have your children, where do you get, because I need people to understand the essence of Young Man University, because I love how you speak life into them, but many of your individuals come from the juvenile court system, am I right?
Yeah, I have several children who come out of the system, been expelled from Shelby County Schools for whatever reason, but one of the things I tell them walking in the door, you cannot make me not love you.
Mm-hmm.
So if that's a part of your strategy, is a losing strategy, because you can't turn me away, because the vision and the mission I have didn't come from a person, it came from God. So I'm going to stay the course, and I think we have to be willing to endure. The Bible says suffer the little children. You got to stay with them.
Yeah.
You got to wait with them. So they come from those environments, and what I do is empower their dreams. I dream with them.
Mm.
I don't care how ridiculous it may sound to me, just because he thought of it. Then we got to figure out a way to see how we turn this into reality. And once we can do that with one thing, when he finally finalizes the thing he really wants to do, it's easy to set the process in place. So that's what I focus on.
Yeah.
Man, dream. Don't stop dreaming.
Don't stop dreaming. You know, I remember as a little girl in life, you know, many people may know of my story. Life wasn't what people think my life was, right? My life was, I had a hard life. A lot of challenges. Didn't see what the sun looked like because I thought I was always in darkness. But every once in a while, I would sit and dream about and say, what life looked like if I had this? What life looks like if I had that? What life looks like? And then just this morning, you know, I was, and many people know I call Pastor Ricky Floyd, we call each other twins, right? But he said something today, and I'm going to have to call him later on and tell him that it still resonate in my spirit, right? And the statement was, what if I would have had a mother like I am? That where could I have been if I had a mother that could speak life into me, nurture me, allow me to dream, and then help me fulfill my dreams? Right. Unfortunately, that was not my story, right? My mom, many people know, my mom was sick all her life, but I still was able to become something that the world thought I probably never would become.
Absolutely.
But what if our children had an opportunity for somebody, what you're doing is to listen to, I don't care how ridiculous the dream seems. Just dream.
You can. And, you know, our kids, they have dreams. And we'll say, well, that's not a good dream, but it's not a good dream to you.
Mm-hmm.
But the process, the structure of having a dream says that there's hope.
Yep.
Abiding. So if we can take that and translate that. I mean, even when I'm listening to guys talking about, you want to be a kingpin drug dealer. I can take that
mm-hmm.
and refine it and refurbish it to move it to something positive.
Yeah.
Just because you thought of doing something.
Mm-hmm.
So we have an opportunity to take. Now we have a structure at least.
Yes.
You know, that's what I'm always telling, especially law enforcement. You can say what you want to say about gangs. What they have done is brought people together.
You know.
And we can build off of that.
Mm-hmm.
We just have to implement consistent standards of change. And once we do that, then we can see change. But
yeah.
You got to want to see change. You know, in this city, almost 70% black. The economic structure is upside down.
Do we even want to see change? Because for me, you know, I never forget, I was in a meeting and I kind of made the people unhappy, right? And I said this. I said, all y'all talking about is the Band-Aid of mental health. I want to see the people heal. But you know why they can't be healed? Because if they get healed, you don't get any more funding. Mm-hmm. If they get healed, you don't have any more programs. If they get healed, you cannot live and do what you do, because now we have a healed community versus a sick community, because there's more profit in sickness than it is in healing. And I am convinced that if everybody get the mindset and said, I'm unbossed and I'm unbought, that means I don't need your money, so that I am going to get out here and make my own money,
right.
But I'm going to help people get to that next level of
Absolutely.
Life. And right now I see that so many times we have selfish people, me, myself and I, but now look at our community, look at our children. Our children feel like nobody cares.
And that's what's happening. You know, kids know when you don't care.
Real recognize real.
They know when you don't care. It's just like, you know, one of the things that really drives me crazy as I watch the news, we're talking about crime and crime stats and numbers. I would find it personally difficult to talk about a reduction in crime when I know for certain I got 16 black boys with first and second degree murder charges at juvenile court.
Mm.
That
now, I heard that this morning.
I have been saying it forever.
No, I heard this morning.
Right.
Now you have made me now think, and I'm going to research later on, that this morning I was told, the group was told at the prayer breakfast by an individual, that crime is down.
I mean, I believe crime is down. I'm not challenging the fight. I'm not impugning that there's a crime is down. What I am saying is that even if crime numbers are down, we still have 15, 16, 17-year-old black males with homicide-related charges. That kind of overshadows burglaries and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
That says to me that we have a greater problem than that reduction in crime in other categories.
Because they can take a life and think nothing of it. And a reason some of them do it, probably, because they getting slapped on their wrists. I was told, and I don't know this for sure, so this is speculation, that you're getting more time for drugs than you get for killing somebody.
In many cases.
And why is that?
But here's the other thing to the youngsters that are catching these kind of charges and having these kind of cases. What do we do with them? To me, they are perhaps our best futuristic opportunities to bring about a population of youth counselors who understand the concept of what they did, what happened, how do I prevent someone else from doing it. But what's going to happen is you're going to give him 25 years, and then he's going to be 40 when he comes home. He's going to be a greater menace to society in likelihood and all probability
yes,
than he would have been if we take them and put them in a stringent compulsory learning and so many directives, change them. I need you to help me now. You 15, you kill somebody. You went away for 25 years, you're 40 now. You could possibly be the change agent, because the cure is in the poison.
Yes.
You got to go inside the snake and get the venom.
And we need to live, and I think some things is that we're not listening to them.
Mm-mm.
We're not listening and to say, why did you do this? Why did you do this? And what can you do now to make sure you see the next generation not go through what you went through? Because a lot of times I keep telling people, these young people are talking, but are we listening?
Mm-hmm. We're not listening, and we're not hearing. even if we are listening, you got to hear what they're saying.
Because we're trying to tell them what we want versus us saying, why? Let's talk about the why.
Whole new generation. So we have to find more innovative strategies to not appease them, but to appeal to their sense of vision.
Yeah.
So whatever their vision is, these things have to line up. And one of the biggest pieces is economics.
Money.
You got to build economics. And I challenge politicians all the time. There's always an issue with me and them. Show me, give me the direction of the place that you help to structure in terms of business. You've been in office 12 years. Where's the business that you help entrepreneurs create within our own community? Where's the viable economic structuring that you're a part of? Because if you're not doing that, then, okay, you work in politics. That's what you do.
And you have to do people over politics.
Man, people over politics and religion.
Yeah.
And it seems to trump everything else that we're doing with our youth. I mean, you got to include them. Yeah. I include them in the process. When I say include them in the process, when they see me in the office at 7 o'clock when they walk in, but I had to work overnight on some projects that I'm working on.
Uh-huh.
And when they get to the office, I unpolish, shoe shine, shirt press. I always tell everybody, when my shirt's wrinkled, you can come in with a wrinkled shirt on. But your shirt ain't never wrinkled, but there it is, because I've set a standard.
Yeah.
But when I say include them in the process, don't sell this stuff to our children as though everything is easy.
Because it's not.
It's not easy.
Man, it's not.
A struggle. But without struggle, there's no progress, so says the elders. And that's what it is. You know, they got to know that you have this vision. You're going to have to sacrifice for it.
Yeah.
You have to give up for it. You're going to have to put some things aside for it. Give up some sleep.
Yeah.
You can't sleep all day. You got to get up. So if you sleep 8 hours a day for 20 years, or what is 8 hours a day for 60 years, you've slept 20 years away of your time. So you're going to have to give up some sleep if you want to be successful.
Yeah. And are we really willing to do it? Here we are, a new year. I say the slate is clean. What do we do to move? What would be, for me, if somebody had to ask me and say, Talisa, what would be step one to moving our city to the next level? Other people will say, we need to talk to the politicians. For me, I want to go to the family. Because it starts at home.
It does.
Right? And so you have, unfortunately, you have mommies that are single parents. So let's get a group of mommies, single parents, and let's talk about how do we support you be a better mother to your children. And some happen to some of your children are reaping havoc.
Right.
Then I would like to speak with absentee fathers. What makes you absentee? Because I've learned that every man don't want to be an absentee father. The mother of the child causes them to be absentee because he may not want that woman. Right. So then now that woman tells the child, your daddy don't want you anymore. So now the child has daddy issues, but really daddy wants him, but is not allowed. Then let's have that conversation.
Absolutely.
And I think if we start with the home.
I agree.
Might be my first step. And so how else would you expound on if somebody came to you and said, Dr. Fortrell, we want to see how we move our city. What do we do in our city to move Memphis? What would be your first step looking outside of what's the inner problem? Because I know poverty and crime, socioeconomics is killing our city.
Right. Well, you know, one of the things we do at YMU with the enrollment process, I include, and I always tell parents, I want everybody you can gather to come to the gathering. This is the enrollment. I don't care if they're here in person when you set up on Zoom or by phone. If dad's in jail, let me know. I work for the prison. I can get him on the phone. Get him on the phone because he needs to be in the room.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things I'm doing, talking to fathers who are in custody and we are working with their son, man, I need you to help me. What can I do? Pray. Pray an earnest prayer,
because
you got to connect the dots with this kid. Too many things are unconnected with him. That's why he acts that way.
Mm-hmm.
So we step back into the home that way and start to build a tribe. This is a tribal issue.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other part is simply looking at what's needed in our community that we don't control. You know, we don't have a grocery store. People have been saying this forever. Then how come we don't just get one? Stop trying to compete with Kroger's and start small. And through the generation, let it develop and grow. Kroger didn't start as no mega market. Started small. Read their history. There's a little doorstop. You got to start somewhere for the sake of the children. And when we think in terms of that, then we can start building, move our egos out the way, and start preparing the next generation. I tell my daughter Ashley all the time, I'm not going to do this forever. You got to do it. That's why I'm preparing you to do it. You don't have to be stuck under me all the time, but this I can hand you. I can hand you a teaching job because you don't have the same credential. And so, but I can hand you this. The inheritance that our children don't get is what we got to start building through the generation. Otherwise, we're going to have the same stupid conversation. What I think it was Minister Farrakhan said, in 1960, it was jobs and justice. 1980, jobs and justice. 2000, jobs and justice. In 2020, we're still talking about jobs and justice. But we don't have either of them because we hadn't built them. We hadn't built the economic base. So we don't have the justice that comes along with that. So I think it's just necessary that we analytically look at where we are, accept it, and then try to make a change. It's just like a savings account. If you put a nickel in it, guess what? You got a nickel.
Yeah.
But you got to start.
And you got to put some in. We got to put something in the game. You just said something that many people, you know, in especially in our city, you know, we're so, you know, we're very organized religion, right? So you had this denomination and that denomination and that denomination, but then you also have the Muslim community, right? That I truly respect.
Right.
I respect their community.
Absolutely.
Because what I've always learned about their community, their discipline.
That's what it takes.
I told myself this morning, I was, you know how you're just riding and you're talking and you're going through, you know, what some things you want to do differently. And, you know, and one of the biggest key thing is staying disciplined.
Right.
Right. Because when you learn, when you become disciplined, things don't move you. When you become disciplined, you can move things and things will move you.
Absolutely.
And you said that he said jobs and justice, justice and job. We're still talking about it. There was a young lady that came up to the church Sunday, and first thing she was like, I just need a job, right? I made some poor choices. Now I can't get a job, right? And then you have on the other side, justice, right? How do we get justice for people that is probably has been in association but didn't even do the crime?
Right, right. Well, the judicial system, that's another... Oh, another giant that we have to really work to tackle, proper legal representation and all the things, analyzing cases that are already out there. I mean, I work at the jail on Tuesday and Thursday. We teach a class called Freedom Over Release. and the thought of the class is that judges, lawyers, and jailers only have the authority to facilitate your release.
Mm.
But freedom is a covenant between you and God.
Come
only
on.
God can free you. Stop looking for man to free you. So with that, in dealing with God, you got to take a serious approach to whatever your circumstances situation are. So I'm preparing young men. Some of them are going to prison. But to walk into prison with a plan, a covenant of freedom, is better than just walking in there because prison is going to absorb you. I know, been there, done that. It's going to absorb you if you don't have your own structure, your own plan. And if you're going for 10 years, guess what? You need a 10-year plan.
Right.
So when you touch down, instead of going into the prison, getting the Playboy book, you get a newspaper.
Mm-hmm.
You start trying to stay current. Whatever's there to learn, you learn, and you prepare yourself for the day that you're going to be released because you have already accepted your freedom.
Yeah.
That's preparation. So I don't sell you no dream like, yeah, they're going to let you out. I don't sell you that dream. If that's going to be, it's going to be. But when they do, if you're not free, you're just released. So they just move you to another circumstance. But in your mind, your spirit, you hadn't changed.
Yeah.
The things that you need to change. So that's what we do in our class. And when the men come to our office, we get them dressed. We address the issue. You got kids, you got child support. You can't run from it. You got to address
it. Yes.
So that's how we help with realistic information, realistic steps to prepare you to take your legitimate place in society. We have a legitimate place. But if you don't know what it is and know how to accomplish that, then all you do is ride around in circles, run around in circles. And that's why we have 30, 35-year-olds, they're clueless.
Yeah.
I'm working with some. And the first thing I say, I cannot believe y'all are 35 years old. 30 and 35 years old, because they seem like they're 18. They're more interested in what kind of snacks I got. Boo, we ain't got no snacks. that just irritates me.
Yeah.
Sorry. I mean, you know,
at 35.
Like, man, 18 to 24, I'll give you that, that statement. But at your age, you should be thinking about something else. You should be becoming the pillar in the community.
Yeah.
But they're just, they've been retarded. You know, their growth.
Because I could believe their growth stopped when many of them came from broken homes.
It did. And removing the excuses, at some point, you got to grow beyond it.
Yeah. I know what that looks like.
Yeah.
You know, because the Bible, there's a statement in the Bible that says the poor will be with you always.
Yep.
My revelation was, but he never said my name. Hmm. So when it says the poor will be with you always, I never read Jeffrey Fortrell's name.
Spirit.
It was, life is, I tell some my son, every day, throughout the day, life is all about choices. What choice are you going to make for your future?
That's right.
And a lot of times we don't want to make the right choice. We make the wrong choice, but then now we mad at the world for our choices.
Right.
One thing I just heard you say, when a brother go to jail for 10 years, right? They going in jail with the plan. So they made a choice to do something that wasn't right. Now you got to live the consequences of your choice, but you can overcome the challenges of your choice by proper planning.
Absolutely. And even when we factor our faith into it, Talisha, one of the things we talk about at our class is that, okay, you gave your life to Christ, you're in jail, you got baptized, you're in jail. Guess what? You still got a 10-year sentence to pull.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to prepare yourself. You know, I'm glad about the transition in your faith. That's important. But what's even more important is that you live in the reality that I still have to deal with it. How am I going to deal with it? What am I going to do? How am I going to stay current?
Yeah.
How am I going to live after this? I've been there. I did 11 years. I had to debrief. And that's the other thing with someone, when you talk about mental health, you got to have a debriefing process.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're already locked in time. I used to say this to my mother. My mother used to say, son, I know. Yes, no, ma. You remember me.
Ooh,
don't know me.
Share that. That's real.
You know, that's
because the same people I went to school with, it's not the same people I finna interact with today.
Not at all.
30 years later.
She used to try to comfort me and say, son, I know you. I said, mama, you remember me. You don't know what I did to get in that situation, and you don't know what I did to survive that situation. So you remember me, and I appreciate the good remembrance you have of me, but I need to debrief.
Mm.
There's a clinical side that is typically taboo with our community.
Yes,
you're crazy.
Lord.
You just need a talk down step, a process by which you get back to a sense of normality.
Mm-hmm.
So what has occurred in the past becomes a useful source of fuel to review and to use to ensure, one, that this never happens to me again. And the other part is to take your place in the community to help somebody else process.
Yes, yes.
You know, so, and that's why I work in the prison. I've always chosen and elected to do that as a part of the principal part of Young Man University because I've been here. I've done that. And I always tell the men, I'm not a visitor.
Yeah.
I know what this is like, especially during the holiday season. You can see it on their face. Whether they celebrate Christmas or not, you can see it on their face. They're like little kids, just, man, I can't be at home for Christmas.
Yeah.
So that's a weighty thing.
And that has to be hard. I've seen where people were, their individuals in jail at the holidays and they video everybody saying, hey, 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 hey.
Right.
And I can only imagine how that person feels in a box.
In a box.
And you're hearing all your family being happy.
That's traumatizing. You know, so, and all that trauma builds up.
Yeah.
And then you let him out.
Ooh.
But there's no step down process to bring, because, well, he needs a job. Yes, he needs a job. But along with the job, equally important is the debriefing process that allows him to address. Because I had rage. I had rage because I had people that, say on the street, they turned state's evidence against me. Oh, I had rage. Rage at my family. Rage.
Yeah.
I had to deprocess and debrief myself from that so I could get back to it. I couldn't even function because the rage would just come up.
Without you even knowing it.
Had no control
over it.
It's
a trigger.
It is.
I always tell people aces. Like, I'm a number 10 on the aces, on the aces a score. That's the highest ever. I mean, I'm literally not supposed to be where I am today.
Right.
But I still deal with triggers. So now I understand my triggers and how to overcome them. Many people that's coming from the system, they have triggers,
right,
but they never took the time to get the help to overcome those triggers and how to deal with those.
Right.
Talk about that. You know, I know you go to the prison, and I applaud you, you know. I always talk that I did prison ministry very short-lived, right? Mm-hmm. I went 2 times, right? Just the slam of the clack of that door was more than I could handle mm-hmm. mentally, mm-hmm. right? And then to see those women in such a bad place, right? And some of the women were underage but did adult crimes, were in the penal form as adults, right? But they were still children, because they made poor decisions. I was like, I can't do this, and I'm not going to continue to do this knowing that I'm not well myself in this place, right? How do you handle going into the prisons, trying to speak life into individuals that made a very poor choice, whether it was by choice or by association? Because there are some young people that are in prison because they associated themselves with somebody bad. I'll never forget, my uncle said something to me. He calls my son Charlie. He said, a good kid can't help a bad kid, but a bad kid can ruin a good kid.
Absolutely.
Keep Charlie away from these bad kids. And I was like, huh? I don't care how much you pray, how much you want to go to the neighborhood, you make sure them bad kids didn't come from where your child came from.
Right.
But you, now I see individuals, like I have a cousin, he did 13 and a half years, right? He didn't even do the crime. He was in association of the robbery. The other individual said on stage, hey, on stand, that he didn't have anything. But the judge said, because you was associated,
absolutely,
you were in the car, he did 13 and a half years, right? What do you say to individuals like that in jail, in prison, that can give hope when they feel they're all hopeless? Talk about it.
I have a class at the Federal Bureau of Prison, Freedom of Release, and I had 25 men that were doing life without parole. And when I was selling them the program, just telling them about the curriculum, you're doing life. I need you to help the guys that are preparing to go home. Why would you help them? And God said, man, why would they help them? Because this is about freedom. You're asking God for freedom, but you won't help someone else find it. You got to set yourself aside. So when I go into the prison, I set myself aside and assimilate with the population, because I've been here and done that. I never have a condescending type disposition. I'm always just, I stay humble.
Yeah.
And in doing so, it allows me to say what I need to say. To them about stop making excuses. That's an excuse, man.
Yeah.
You did that. If you didn't, we don't have to talk about it. I don't want to get into your case.
Yeah.
But you know, if no one knows, you know what it is. And if you didn't do this, you did something. So, okay.
Yeah.
So accountability is all around. And that's the approach I typically take with them, is that we can't, there's no guy say, I beat the case. That's a lie. If you did that, you didn't beat nothing.
Exactly.
Because that would make God, that would render God's word a lie. That you read what you sow.
Mm.
So that's not true. You sideswiped it for a minute, but it's coming back in some other way. You got to know that. So it's hard, especially with younger guys. And that's what you're seeing in custody now. You got a 20-year-old, he's looking at 20 years. That's hard to explain to him.
Yeah.
Hard to explain to him, man, you got to stay focused, stay prayed up. Those are just words.
Yeah.
Those are just
words. Because his reality, like.
They don't match with his reality.
Right.
And you can't, that one day at a time, I tell them it's not one day at a time, it's 1 second at a time.
Yeah.
One day at a time is a big chunk to bite.
It sure is, man. Let's be real. You sure right.
So you got 1 second at a time that you're going to have to learn to find a purpose.
Yeah.
And the purpose is, well, what am I going to do? You got to remember what you were supposed to do, man. Yeah. So you got to be that pillar for somebody. Somebody's going to hear you if you tell it from the heart. You know, that's, y'all hear me because I speak from my heart.
Mm-hmm.
Typically, I'm in the jail crying because you can't be mad at me. The scripture says we can't fall apart now that I tell you the truth.
Yeah.
You can't be mad at me because I'm telling you the truth. It's not my words. This is biblical. So I'm just telling you, this is what you got to do. You know, one of the things we stress, did you write your mom? you, I don't mean some foo-foo letter. I mean, did you write and tell mom I thank you just for this life?
Yeah.
And I'm going to try to do better. You don't need to be making no jailhouse promises and all that. But that needs to be on their mind of what you have to do. And so I load them up with what they have to do. You have children? Yeah, I got kids. You write them? Well, write them anyway. Because a man told me that in prison. He saw my son's picture on the wall. He said, who is that? I said, that's my son. He said, you write him? I don't know where he is. I didn't ask you that. I asked you, did you write him?
Yeah, did you release it out of your mind on pen and paper? Writing.
So I started writing letters and cards, and I would just put them in the legal box. But it saved my relationship with him 11 years later. When I saw him, he said, man, you forgot about me. Oh, man, I was broke down.
Yeah.
I had 11 legal boxes with cards, letters, notes.
All that good stuff.
I said, I ain't forget, son. I didn't know how to get a hold to you.
Yeah.
Here it is right here. I wrote it down. I wrote a vision for you and me right here. I wrote it. So we got to touch the heart of the men.
Yeah.
That are in custody. Forget what you said you did or didn't do. I'm not interested in that. That's not my part. Mm-hmm. So my part in going into the jail is to reach that sacred place.
Yeah.
Because if you can't reach that, you're probably not going to be effective.
Wow.
So to reach that sacred place, and we join in that sacred place and find a solution. I don't care if you got 25 years. God lets me stand, you and me are going to be in touch. That's why Young Man University is not a program. It's a system.
Yeah.
Programs come and go with every political regime.
Wow.
So when there's a new political regime, you get a new program. So we're a sustainable system.
Yeah.
And that's what works in the population that we work for. You know, if you're just here for this, then that's it.
Yeah.
We're done. But I try to make sure we stay the course.
And consistency is everything. You're listening to WYXR. I am your girl, Dr. Talisa Franklin. Make sure you're following me on all social media outlets. Again, that is Dr. Talisa Franklin. My guest today is Dr. Jeffrey Fertrell, Young Man University. And we're just having a powerful conversation. How do we move Memphis? And we both agree that if we can get back to the family, if we can get back and figure out what's going wrong in the home, that we can shift the narrative. But what Young Man University is doing is, I love the fact that even though I'm saying we're getting back to the home, many of the people that should be in the home, which is the fathers, you're able to impact them while they're incarcerated.
Absolutely.
That if they get out, they'll make different decisions because now they understand the consequences of their choices.
Right, absolutely.
Because I believe some of the people that is incarcerated didn't truly recognize the consequences of their choices because it was survival in their mind.
Right. Absolutely.
Right? It was survival. And let's just be real. In Memphis, we have a poverty problem. So what happens when you see somebody's hungry? They're going to go into the grocery store and steal them something to eat.
Right.
What's going to happen when you see somebody is cold? They're going to go into an empty building and make a fire.
Right.
Right? What happens when you see somebody that is mad at the whole world? Well, they're going to go and try to kill the people that they were mad at because they don't understand how to deal with their trauma.
Right. And that mental health piece becomes so critical once again.
Let me tell you, if you know you can't drink your way through this, you can't smoke your way through this, you can't argue, fuss, and fight, baby, if you having some mental issues, mental illness is real, right?
Help.
And if you need some help, get the help so that you won't have to continue to be in bondage.
Because that's where you're going to be.
Yeah.
It's going to prevent you from
bondage in your mind. Bondage.
It's going to prevent you from doing everything else, and especially when fathers return home, you know. And this is something I deal with in my own personal life.
Mm-hmm.
One of my sons, he still has a lot of anger that I was away.
Okay.
That I was in the streets. He has a lot of anger, and sometimes he'll just cut
shoot off.
And I've learned just to back up off of him.
Yeah.
Give him his space.
Grace and space.
Next time he'll call, hey, Pops, hey, how you doing, man?
Yeah.
I won't even, that's not even an issue because I know what it is.
Uh-huh.
Because I process through those debriefing circumstances that tell me these things are going to happen. He's mm-hmm. angry.
Yeah.
I can't put you on my shoulder anymore, son, and take you to the zoo.
Yeah.
We lost that. So God said, now you just got to stand in the gap.
Yeah.
That's your job. Let him process through it, and one day he'll grow up and he'll see. Yeah. But if you don't stand in the gap, then you won't be there. And then when he grows up and sees, then it'll all be for naught. So our children are traumatized at our absence. At the, you're not at the ball game. You weren't at the prom. You didn't help me do these things. Those things are registering with them. And
yeah.
They're building up in an accumulative nature. So it creates this negative ball, a bomb, ready to explode at any minute. So as fathers, we got to be aware of the trauma that we're heaping on our children.
Yeah.
And then when we're aware of it and know that we did it, then we got to move to find significant means by which we diffuse the bomb.
Yes.
And then destroy it throughout the generation so we don't continually redo the same thing over and over again.
Absolutely. And I always tell people, you have to take accountable, you have to be accountable of actions. You know, I speak with grandmothers that loves, that wants me to always speak to the children because their mom is is similar to what my mom went through, you know. And I always tell the children, it's okay to feel the way you feel, but you cannot let her action stop you from being who you know you're supposed to be.
And that works both ways with the children and the parents. You know, I can't let how my son feels stop me from the mission that God has given me. You know, it bothers me. It hurts me. I don't necessarily care for it. But I can't let that stop me from the approach and the direction that God has given me.
Yeah. So,
we got to know, though. But I know, I recognize that he has been traumatized by my absence.
And we got the respect people feelings, and I think so many times that we don't respect the next person's feelings, and so when the way we move, even we're seeing the poverty and we're seeing the crime and we're seeing the division, we're seeing the dramatic, we're seeing the chaos, we're seeing a lot of stuff here in Memphis, man.
Let's just
stop playing, right? You know, I on national news, I don't care who I talk to around the world, they know Memphis, and I ain't knowing Memphis from Elvis either. They know Memphis from the drama. What are y'all doing down there in Memphis? Have y'all lost y'all mind? Y'all can't work together. And again, in a city, in a community that's predominantly African-American, ran.
It is. Ran.
But not
controlled.
Come on. That's a whole nother. Because the person that controls the economics
controls
it.
Right. We have positions.
Come on.
The positions are not power.
Come on.
You know, so you can have the position. That satisfies a lot of things on the surface.
Because the people that control can write you a check and you're going to do whatever they tell you to do.
Right.
We got to be what we're doing was best for our people. And I don't mean just African Americans, for Memphis.
For Memphis,
when people, you know, there's a lot of people used to talk about President Barack Obama, when he did the law with homosexuality, right? And so I'm a church girl. I'm a Christian. I love God. But I seen so many people don't like him, right? But he never said he was the president to just heterosexuals.
Right.
He said he was a president of the United States of America.
Right.
Let God do what he gonna do. You be the president of the United States of the America, right? And so we have to get to the point that we respect people, we love people for who they are, and how do we move for the common goal of our community because our children are watching.
Right. And you know, my buzzword always has been, okay, I'm transgender. Okay. What do you want from me? Okay. I have my religious conviction.
Mm-hmm.
And this is my stand on that whole issue.
Yeah.
Okay, this is what I believe.
Yeah.
I'm not challenging you for what God allowed you to believe because he gave you the authority to choose.
Mm-hmm.
And if you chose that, who am I? I'm just
love
this
people.
Is me. This is me. I believe this.
Yeah.
And I'm not gonna try to heap mine on you, nor am I gonna let you heap yours on me, but I'm gonna let you have your space.
Yeah, just love people. And again, and you know, I always laugh with you about the Muslim community, right? Because I have so much great respect for them. And many of them know that when I go, when I've had an opportunity to be in their buildings, I cover my head. I honor their practices, right?
Yeah.
Because I'm not going to come in your house and do what I want to do. I'm going to do, when I'm in Rome, I'm going to do what the Romans do, right? But we go back to the same thing that we talked about in the conversation top of the hour. Jobs and justice. Jobs and justice. Justice and jobs. Justice and jobs. How do we move that? We have all the job fairs, but they're not really good job fairs. They're, you're going to work on a temporary agency that's going to tell you in 90 days they'll make you permanent. But day 88, you did something wrong. Ooh. And they're going to fire you.
I don't do
But they'll hire you back again and start all over again.
At YMU, we don't do job fairs. We do fair jobs. If I got 10 jobs, I got 10 guys.
Come on.
I'm batting 100%.
Right.
Because I've lined the guys up with the job. Boom. No one's going to leave here. Because one of the things that disturbs me about that, you have a job fair. You got all these people coming. You don't know what they had to do to get to the job fair, to get a white shirt, to get a resume.
Yes.
That's throwing darts at the board.
Yep.
I don't like the darts at boards. I
mean, and they are doing it. They are hurting. And we got to make sure we have the opportunities that our people deserve.
We do.
Are we truly giving them the opportunities that they deserve? Or are we just going through the motion to say, oh, okay. Okay, next, please.
Those who came before us demand that of us.
They surely did.
My mother used to always, you didn't vote, you might not ever get back in her house. She said, we got our butt beat, so y'all would vote. Whatever you believe about voting and politics, and I understand all that, but to deny it and say, I'm just not going to do it, that's a slap in the face to the ones who came before us.
Oh, God, yes.
So we have to lay down those foundations and explain that to the generation. That's why some of the curriculum that they've taken out of public schools, like civics, those things need to be in schools specifically for our children, because they need to understand the purpose of politics.
Got to.
And voting and all the things that go along with it. So we're missing a lot of pieces in the curriculum now, because our kids don't have a clue at 18.
Not at all.
You know, well, see, everybody at YMU gets registered to vote as soon as they turn 18.
If they got
to. Going downtown to get registered to vote. So we got to start including them in the total process of the American society. That's where they are. Even if you want to move back to Africa, that's fine, but you ain't there yet.
Yeah.
So as long as you're here, then there's some things you just need to know.
Yeah.
And it's incumbent upon us, the elders, to make sure we're teaching our youth these things all the time. At YMU, the day starts with Proverbs and Psalms.
Yes, I love
prayer,
it.
Prayer, Proverbs, and Psalms. It's 7 days a week. I don't let up. Every day, you got to read Proverbs and Psalms. How I know you're ready? Because you're going to send me a one-page summation.
Come on.
One. Categorize.
Accountability.
In 30 days, you read all of them. So go back and review that day and tell me something else that you took. If the Bible is inexhaustible, like we say it is, then every day you should give me something different from that same
scripture.
Because our children don't read and write because we don't demand it of them.
Nope.
You can't get out of here. You got to read and write every day. I'm going to make sure.
And that's a whole nother piece, because I'm so upset that they do not teach children how to cursive write. How you going to sign your name, partner?
Man, we should be proud of our hand.
How you going to sign your name?
I remember practicing how to sign my name.
Yes.
You know, it was a prideful thing. You know, we took pride in it.
Yeah.
So many things are lost. What hurts us more than anyone.
Mm-hmm.
We needed that more than anyone.
Yes.
So, and that's why when you don't control the education, then because you got people who are educators, then you got people who work in education.
Yes, come on. Now, I need you to break that down, because our listeners right here at WYXR are like, what is Dr. Fortrell talking about with Dr. T? Baby, that was powerful, okay? Powerful. Talk about the powerful.
You got people who work in education.
Uh-huh.
Because it is a career job.
Yes.
But not interested in the quantifiable results that happen from your participation in education. They got educated.
Yes.
Educators want to ensure that the students are learning, retaining data. You know, they're learning. I'm teaching them. They're retaining. I don't jump to one thing until they get. We don't go to Algebra 2 unless everybody got Algebra 1.
Come on.
What are you looking at Algebra 2 for? We hadn't developed and grasped this concept.
Yeah.
You know, my tutoring method is test, tutor, test. We test, we tutor, we test, and then we evaluate to ensure that the scholar is retaining the information to successfully accomplish the test. I had a couple of boys, they got 15 on the ACTs. We went through the ACT process, then they got 21.
Come on.
I said, well, man, I knew it. You knew it because we redundantly did it over and over again, just like that music you guys listened to.
Yes.
The video, we did over and over again, and it didn't take a long time to do it. This population learns in short specs.
Mm-hmm.
So a four-hour tutoring session for these kids, that's a waste of time. Give me the 45 minutes and we'll work it in that. So when you have educators are innovative people.
Come on.
You know, you can't teach him. I had a teacher so he can't learn a ratio. So I balled up 11 pieces of paper, the garbage can, Rico, shoot them. So he shoot them, he make eight. What's the ratio? 8 out of 11.
You taught them that fast.
Teach him on what he likes to do.
It, on his level.
Now you got him. And he was so excited, so he started finding ways to learn things he didn't know.
Yes.
And then not only learn it, but to retain the information and the method on how he did it. So that's what people in education, you know, we got people in education, and then you got the educators. So if you're just working in education, and not even from an administrative standpoint, an administrator has to be an educator. Because if all your role is to just not change the lives of the children, then you're just working in education.
Oh, you know what? I better shift that conversation because I'm going to tell you, anybody know that Talisa can go on a rant? Woo, it can be a rant.
Well, let me throw this piece in. I got to, since I got the floor.
You got the flow. You got the flow.
If we don't prepare the next leaders, we're going to have school board meetings like we just had. What? Here's the thing.
See, he tried to make me do it. He tried to make me do it. Uh-huh. He ain't going to make me do it.
Gangs don't go out and have a worldwide research for the next leader. They already know who he is. The ops know who the next leader is. If the leader falls, everybody knows. Because he lives and exists within the structure of the organization.
Mm.
So we got people in the organization. We couldn't pick a superintendent from the people. And we have qualified people. I'm not saying we're there because we did. But we couldn't pick a qualified leader from among ourselves. You had to shop outside and get somebody else. When you have people right here who were homegrown. And if they were doing anything that you didn't like, you'd have sat them down at the kitchen table and said, look, man, this is what it is. That's retarded. So until we have people who are committed, then we're going to have fiascos like that madness. And that, to me, that was absolute madness. I had people from Los Angeles call me, Jay, what's up with them people? I can't answer that. I can answer a lot of things, but I cannot answer that.
So, y'all, Talisa's going to be quiet. It's the beginning of the year, and I'm going to be quiet. So I love you. Lou, love me. We are a happy family with a great big hug and a kiss from me. You. Won't you say you love me too? Because let me tell you something. I saw this morning, I saw Dr. Fagans. Love her.
Right.
I saw school board members, commissioners. Love them. But I really love the children. Yeah. And so I'm going to say it again. What about the children? Remember when we were children? What about the children? If I believed up what we were experiencing the other night, all I wanted people to say, and I was there,
mm-hmm.
What about the children? I heard everybody what they wanted, but what about the children? What do the children want?
Right. Anybody ask them?
What do the children want? What do the children want? Again, I say today, what do the children want?
Well, no, unless you ask them. Sit down and talk with them.
Our children deserves to be heard.
And listened to.
With practical resources, opportunities that we yield results for their future.
Right.
When are we in Memphis on November on New Year's Day? Are we going to continue the cycle of repetitiveness, of craziness for our children? Are we really going to come back and say, what about the children? Remember when we were children?
That's what bothers us about our children. They remind us of us. So it kind of troubles us a lot of time. But if we don't build something for them to build on, we have the Mayor's Youth Council. Where's the businesses that we build for the youth and become sustainable as we develop new youth?
And support their businesses. Man. My son many people, he started when he was 13, right? I'm so freaking proud of him. Now he's 18, in college, has his own life insurance business now, and I'm nurturing him. I found myself working on projects for him yesterday for his marketing piece, right? Because I need him to know that I'm going to support you in your business so that you can be successful. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of other young people in Memphis that just need somebody to support them in their business, and then they can feel like they can make it.
They got great ideas.
We can do this, y'all, but we got to do better in taking care of our children.
We do.
Our children deserve more. And I know we're wrapping up, Doc, but I want to publicly thank you on January 1, 2025, right here in WYXR studio. Thank you for making sure our children that sometimes don't have a voice, that have made poor decisions, that you still speak life into them. Absolutely. And then they have redemption power for our community.
They do. They are the answer.
They are.
Our best option. They are. All of them.
I just want to see our children be heard, seen, and not just looked over.
Right.
And I think we can do it.
I believe it.
I believe, Whitney Houston sang a song, I believe the children are our future.
Yeah, they are.
They are our future.
Teach
them well now.
Yeah.
And let them lead the way. Yeah. We ain't letting them lead the way.
We won't get out the way.
We won't get out the way.
That's what it is.
And I just want to be, as I grow, I want to get out the way. And I want to nurture more young people to stand. Right. I've been going to places and doing things. And when I'm able to sit back, it's like, oh, you caught what I was saying. I feel good.
Yeah.
Dang, Doc, I hate this conversation. Gotta be over. Doc, tell people how they can stay connected to all things Dr. Jeffrey Vertrail.
You can call me. I'm not a big shot. You can call me at 901-825-3326. You can reach us on our office phone at 901-522-5216. You can reach us at youngmanuniversity.org or check us out on social media, Facebook, Instagram, Young Man University, or myself, Jeffrey Ryan Futrell. Been an honor to be here with you, T, always.
Thank you so much. Listen, y'all, I am your girl, Dr. Talisa Franklin. Listen, we just have a little talk every Wednesday, y'all. And I love having just straight up community talk that's happening right here in the studios of WYXR 91.7, Raised by the Sound on this great New Year's Day. Listen, do yourself a favor and don't you ever, 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 ever change that dial, because what's happening over here in Crosstown Concourse, it's a blessing. Let me tell you, we have an opportunity to be able to do what we want to do in the airways and in this space. I remember, Doc, and I know I'm finna go. This used to be Sears Crosstown. Little girl. So I went from coming here with my grandmama to seeing it close down to knowing an individual that lived here homeless. That lived in this building empty.
Wow.
She made her a whole home downstairs, and it was her home for about 4 or 5 years.
Oh, wow.
And now we met her evangelizing. And I end up getting her to church, and we start helping her get to where she needs to be. Now she lives in St. Louis. But I'm always reminded when I come here that she lived here unhoused, and it looked like a little house downstairs.
Wow.
But there are so many different people walk through this, and to see revitalization happen tells you wherever something looks dead, with the right vision, it can come back to life.
Absolutely.
And we're sitting in life of vision. And so if you're in a situation right now and the situation looks like it's dead, baby, you can be revitalized, because the answer lies in you. You have everything that you need to be successful. All you have to do is look in the mirror and say, I am a success. Hey, y'all, I'm your girl, Dr. Talisa Franklin. Keep it locked right here to your favorite radio station, WYXR FM 91.7. Listen, we're going to have a little song called Have Your Cake and Eat It Too. I love that, y'all. Come on now. Let's keep it going right here. I'm Dr. T. Make sure you follow me on all social media outlets.
But I have a feeling you're trying to have your cake and eat it 32 Hard.
I'm a Memphis filmmaker, and you're listening to WYXR 91.7.